Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for the precious Lord Holy Spirit whom you sent in the name of Jesus. We ask you to lead us and guide us. We receive you as our teacher, revelator today. Thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, as we now continue in our studies, I have been speaking to you about the importance of clinging on to the Lord Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus said, I got to go. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come, the Lord, from heaven. And when Jesus left, he sent him another person. He's not a wind, he's not a dove, he's not a fire. He is a person like Jesus. And the greatest sin of the church and every believer, I would believe, in majority of the time, is that we are not honoring this person, wonderful friend who left heaven, sent by the Father, sent by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He came in his name that he may reveal the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in our hearts, that we may experience the presence of God every time we pray, every time that we call upon his name. So Jesus said, I got to go. It is to your advantage I go away. If I do not go away, the Comforter will never come. So Jesus left as a person. And the Comforter, the Lord Holy Spirit, came. What are we doing? What are we doing having him inside? What are we doing with the precious God's word, with the demons tremble? I've had many experiences. I would just probably bring some demonized people. I would open the Bible and read, just read. In the beginning was God, the Word. That's it. They begin to tremble. So I want to talk to you, continuing today, how a bride was actually selected through the servant of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 24, it is a picture, a beautiful picture of our salvation. How God planned salvation. You know, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Everything starts with God. You can seek God, but unless God seeks you first, you cannot. Sometimes we think, we say, the Bible says, draw near to God, right? In James, and he will draw near to you. You know, unless he draws you, you can't draw near. Yeah, so we got to pray, Lord, draw me near you. Please pull me near, then we will come running. Everything starts with God. I never seeked him. No, I ran away. It was he who sought me. It was he who opened my heart. I am here speaking to you the word of God, not because I am perfect, far from it. Let me tell you, I'm not living in sin, knowing that it is sin, but I am going towards perfection, like many of you, all of you. So the plan of redemption starts with God and ends with God. He's the one who organized it. He's the one who planned it. The Bible says Jesus Christ, he's the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Yeah. Not just he came, sought this plan in the middle. No. God already planned it. When Adam and Eve sinned, he never just scratched his head and said, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this humanity? No. So Genesis chapter 24, when we see that story, Abraham in that story is a type of God the Father. His son Isaac is a type of God the Son, Jesus Christ. Isaac, you know, is a miraculous child, right? Because he was born when they were really old. It was a son of promise, so he's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see that? So Isaac is a picture, is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the servant of Abraham is a type of the Lord Holy Spirit. I told you many times, and I would just, it's my opinion, I would ask you, in future, when you just don't say the Holy Spirit, you say the Lord Holy Spirit. The Lord Holy Spirit, because he is Lord and he is God. Amen? Can I have a good amen? For that also, you need really the anointing and the urging of the Holy Spirit. No, you can't say just say amen, because you're agreeing with me. So the servant's name is not mentioned in chapter 24 It's so beautiful. The Holy Spirit never comes to boast about himself or speak about himself. Jesus said, he is coming. What he hears, he will speak. He is coming to speak and magnify about me, Jesus said. So don't get worried. Oh, if I cling on to the Holy Spirit, will I move away from Jesus? No, no, no. Not if you have the real true Holy Spirit. But don't seek for the Holy Spirit before you are really saved. Before you're washed by the blood. Oh yes, that's dangerous. That's really dangerous. The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jehovah, will never come inside anybody unless they're washed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. They got to be first saved, washed, and the Holy Spirit, when they receive Jesus Christ, he comes and makes the person, a new heart, and a new spirit is created within. Hallelujah. So this story, as we go on now, the name of the servant is beautifully, is not mentioned because that's the type of the Lord Holy Spirit. So when we study this, as Genesis chapter 24 opens up, and the servant, now he's verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had. You see, the servant, who is a type of the Lord Holy Spirit, ruled over all the wealth of Abraham. Can you see that? So what is it? What are we going to get out of it for us who are living this time? The Holy Spirit, the servant is the type of the Holy Spirit, right? So the Lord Holy Spirit is the administrator. He has got the key to all the wealth of the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. He holds the key to the kingdom of God. Any believer, any church, any group are not getting closer and getting acquainted with the Lord Holy Spirit. They're not going to get much because he's got the wealth. He's the administrator. He rules over all the wealth. You cannot bypass the Lord Holy Spirit and get something out of the kingdom of God, whether you, whatever you want, deliverance or healing or peace or prosperity or unity in the family, or get someone saved, you need the key. And the key holder is the Lord Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, John 15, 15. Take John 15, 15. In that one, Jesus talks about excuse me, 15:26. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, verse 26, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He will testify of me. Chapter 16, verse 14. He will glorify me, still talking about the Lord Holy Spirit, for he will take of what is mine, he will take all my wealth, and declare it to you. Can you see that? So like the servant who is the administrator who had, you know, ruled over Abraham's wealth, the Lord Holy Spirit holds the key. It is so interesting that the Lord Holy Spirit is called, is a servant. He serves in the kingdom. He serves the Father and the Son. And Lord Jesus Christ, while he was on earth, he served as a servant. Isaiah chapter 42. Go with me. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. We should know a comparison. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Can you see that? So the Lord Jesus Christ here, even before his birth, is called the servant. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, he became man as a servant, even obedient to the death, to death on the cross. Now we can see the Holy Spirit now playing the part of a servant in the Godhead, in preparing the church and every believer. And how important it is for us to know him. To get acquainted with him. You see. There's so much important. Genesis. Okay, let's go back to Genesis chapter 24. Verse 5 and 6. So without the help of the Holy Spirit, we receive nothing. Genesis 24, 5 and 6. And the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? But Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. So always remember, in your heart, Abraham is a picture of God the Father. Isaac is a picture of God the Son, Jesus Christ. The servant, who is that? God the Holy Spirit. And Rebecca, the bride where he is going to fetch now, is a picture of you. Why you? That's right. Every believer, the church. So now, the servant asks, can I take your son? Supposing she refuses, can I take your son back? What has this got to do with us? You know, the salvation calling is so important. It can come to us at any time. And if we refuse, chances may be given to us or may not be. You cannot rely on it. Some people will have just one chance, just like the sons-in-law of Lot. He went and called them, now get out of the city. And they said, oh, well, probably he's mad. They thought that he was joking, you know. And then they died that night, that fire that came. So that's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, four times it says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today, if you will, it has nothing to do with him. If you willingly hear his voice and say, yes, Lord, I surrender, Lord. Take my life, Lord. I don't know what to do with myself. Lead me and guide me. I surrender. Come in. Yes, he will. But if we don't use our wills, there is no option. There, you cannot avoid our hearts getting hardened. There is no other way. The moment we refuse the voice of the Lord Holy Spirit, our hearts are hardened. The next time you hear, you will say, well, I heard it. I know that. I heard it before that sermon. So be very careful. Be very careful when God speaks to you. So he says, don't take my son back to that place again. Jesus is not coming back again to earth to die. He has finished. That work is over. Now, he came as a lamb. He is coming as a lion. He came as savior, but he is coming as a judge. Are you ready? You sure you are ready? Oh, even today, everyone will give an account in his presence, brothers and sisters. All right. Chapter 24, verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, and I will give, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. What does this mean? Abraham says he will send an angel. So, you know, in our salvation, you and I do not know, we have not seen whether one or two or five or 10 angels God used in order that we may come to that place of salvation, that we may come to that church building, that we may come to that house where they had that prayer meeting, that we may meet that person who would tell us the good news, that we may read that book, that Bible, that tract that was given to us. Maybe you found it on the roadside. It was everything planned. Probably the angels guided and directed for you to go to another road, another way, so that you will pick up that thing and then read it. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, God employs his angels for those who are being saved. Ministering spirits, they are called. We have not seen. Only eternity will. We will come to know. Oh, these angels were used to bring me. Oh yes, God uses his angels. All right, verse 8. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So the Holy Spirit leaves Godhead and he goes about hunting for souls. He will bring them into the kingdom of God. That's his work. He uses every believer. That's why every believer must be a soul winner. If you're a soul winner, let me tell you, let it be anybody. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, is at work in you. He's at work in you. If you're not winning souls, if you're not after souls, the Holy Spirit is you know, doing nothing, and that he is not at work within you. He's not moving. is kind of in prison inside our spirit. So he is now on his way to fetch a bride for Isaac. And the main thing is, he was told, if she refuses, then you are released. The will of every human being is so precious in the sight of God. Anyone who wills, let him come unto me, Jesus said. Nobody can blame God once they have entered hell at their last day and then say, Lord, you never gave me an opportunity. No, God is just. And it is up to us to use our will. The will is involved in there. God will give us the grace and shed forth the light of the gospel in our hearts. But it is up to us. Lord, I surrender to say that. God will never force anyone. No, no. You can be born again and still go on your own way. We can go on our own way and not serve him. Be worried about our own family, our husband, our wife, our children, and our work and everything. You know, just you are buried and you don't know what to do, Lord. But God says, look here, I have called you for a work. I have got this blueprint with me. And I have sent the Lord Holy Spirit to teach you all things. But we have no time. We just play church. We just deceivingly satisfied. It's a deception. So don't get settled down just coming to church, brothers and sisters. I'm just telling you. So you got to use your will. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, anyone who wills, let him come and drink. Anyone who wills. So we need to use our will all the time. All right. The verse 9 and 10. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning his matter. The servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. All his master's goods were in his hand. All his master's goods. So who has got all the goods and all the wealth of the kingdom of God now? The Lord, Holy Spirit, you got it. He comes to every believer with all the wealth and all the gifts of the kingdom of God. And why we are so empty and so dissatisfied and only we are crying to God when we are in problems? Because we don't know him. And we don't know him. We don't know our call. Some of us know our call, but Jesus ignore. We ignore our prophecies. We ignore what God has actually warned us of. We just know it right there. But we just, just like Martha, we are so busy in our whatever that we are doing, housework or the other work. As I said all the time, The Friday comes and the Monday comes. The Saturday, Sunday goes like a blink of an eye. And the Monday comes and the Friday comes. And the life goes on. And you are getting old. Me too. And the time is so nearing. And one of these days it will be all over if the rapture takes place. Nothing is going to prevent. Everything is set. Yeah. So don't wait for Christmas or next March. Or maybe I'll get some more strength and then serve the Lord. No. All right, so he is bringing his wealth and he took 10 camels. Can you believe it? 10 camels can carry a real load. Maybe lots of baggages on it. And then he's bringing all, just for one person, bringing gifts. The Holy Spirit always is coming with gifts. He never comes empty-handed. Even though sometimes we go empty-handed before the Lord, he never comes. He's the one who wrote the word anyway. So he comes with all gifts of Abraham. So the Holy Spirit does the same thing. Verse 12. Then he said, O Lord God, my master, God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. So he prays, and he's praying a very specific prayer that he should meet this bride. I mean, whoever it is, you know, that I should meet. The Holy Spirit always is interceding for us. You know, he has been praying. When he was coming to you and me, he's been praying that we should be there in the right place. Let me tell you, that's why this picture is a shadow. Don't think of your salvation as something that is small. The moment you feel right now, some of you, because your salvation is small, something you are not excited about it, you're already on the path of deception. when you have your eyes have, you know, your eyes are dried, your tears are dried, right? There's no tears in your eyes. That's a clear sign that that you have lost the first love, the excitement, the Lord who saved you, brought you. Salvation is not small. It costs the very blood of God, the blood of the Son of the living God. It is not something small. Because I have seen people, and it is during deliverances, and I will shout at the spirit, "Get out of her!" And he will say, "No! I have been staying with this man for 8 years. Don't chase me. I am not going." So salvation is precious. It is very precious. I have seen these things. That's why I speak this way. Some of you may think that I am emotionally whatever. But what are you using your emotions for? I like to know. Maybe you don't tell me. You know it. So after he prays, Rebecca shows up there. Why did you show up in that church, in that prayer meeting? Why did you show up or meet that pastor? Why did you even meet me, some of you? You think you got saved because of me? No, no way. I'm just a man like you. You got saved because the Lord Holy Spirit arranged that meeting. That's why. Because he's the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me. I have chosen you." Is that a small thing? I see my friends and I see many people, my relations. And I always wonder, why didn't you choose them, Lord? My wife would sometimes say, "Oh, that person is so good. He got better qualities than you, you know. Oh, he doesn't." I said, "Yeah, you know something? Lord chose me." He chose the weak things. He chose the rejected things to confound the wise and the prudent. So don't bother. Don't worry if you're weak and well, everyone has rejected you. Lord, brother, I cannot turn. You are the one God is looking for. You are the one he's after. So, brothers and sisters, you were not there in that church or that building, or you were not there in that prayer meeting by accident. It was planned throughout eternity. It was planned long ago. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. You know this scripture very well. Some of you, and many quote it wrongly. Romans 8, 29 and 30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. You know, he foreknew. He knew all before that you will surrender. Foreknew. That he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, that he also called. When he has predestined you to the image of his son, he called you at that time. It's not accident. Everything took place over there, and he's revealing the secret of the family. Why? Because now that you have come inside the family, somebody say amen. You have now come inside the family of God, and you have work to do. You have what? Don't be like Martha. Always grumbling and accusing and all kinds of finding fault with because you're burdened with some problem. Oh, you know, when I finish this work, by the time you finish your work, Jesus is finished with his teaching in Martha's house. He's not coming there anymore. And Jesus never laid hands and prayed over Martha. That's another story. He left her like that. Did you get that? Okay. You know that Ethiopian, as he was reading the scriptures while he was coming, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, told Philip, run to that street. Towards desert. And he has finished his big meeting and he is now separated from all those crowd. And now he's running to it. And he saw this man reading. And you know what happened? Who planned all that? He got baptized by the Lord Holy Spirit planned it. It is no accident. This must really boost you. Why are you looking sad? You. He planned it.
He planned it. I was grumbling when I was leaving UK, but he planned it. He was planning that he will open my heart. Oh, I tell you. When I was grabbing that whiskey bottle, when I was just leaving London, you know, he knew everything. Ah, you get it, and I'll stay to it. And I was not willing to go to that church. I told Shaman, no, I am not coming. I know Jesus. When I didn't know, people can be easily deceived that way. I've been a Roman Catholic right throughout my life. I've said, oh, my generations are Roman Catholic. We have Jesus in our pockets. That's what we many think. Hardly I knew when they laid hands what happened inside my heart. Dad. You recollect your salvation. What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ who had come inside? What will you do with the Lord Holy Spirit who is speaking to you right now? What will you do with your life? Just say, praise the Lord. No. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. So your salvation, your meeting place was no accident at all. Rebecca meeting that servant at the well was no accident. God planned it. That's why we got saved. Verse 17, Genesis chapter 24, verse 17. It's just, we've got to go over there all the time. So this is a plan of redemption, our salvation. It's a beautiful picture. And the servant ran to meet her. The Holy Spirit never wastes any time. You remember the father running out of the house of the prodigal son. He was coming home and he just ran out. He never waits. Anybody who has a repentance, he said, I will go to my father. He comes running. God never waits. Oh, let this fellow come and then kneel down and ask pardon. And I will say to it. Always I have seen when I led people for repentance, brothers and sisters, before even I could pray for them, the power of God came down. Why? That's the way God is. While we were yet sinners, he sent Jesus to die for us. While we were yet enemies, he died for us. What about now then? We say, Lord, here I am. If you can use an empty vessel, if you can use a nothing, use me, Lord, please. And he will. He will. Did he not say the laborers are few? Come on, come out of this nutshell of self. Come out of this nutshell of me and my family and my husband and everything. Come out of you. Just be center of your future. And say, Lord, Lord, help me, Lord. Do whatever that you want to do with me. Beat me up, Lord. Chastise me. Put me back on the road. I want to finish your calling. Some of us, we are just trying to scrape some love out of some people, whether husband or wife or somebody or child or daughter, husband. So, we just want to suck it. Why don't you love me? Hey, come on. That is man, woman, not God. But the love of God will never change. He will never change. He will be the same all the time. When everyone leaves, he will be there right there. Lord, everyone has left me. But did he not say, I shall neither leave you nor forsake you? Why did he say that? Because there will be a time you will be left alone. There will be a time that every love will fail. Yes. Some people will cling on to the pastor. And God will see to it that he removes the pastor away from them. Why? Because otherwise you will not taste the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, brothers and sisters. So, as a simple request, now the servant makes a request to have some water as you go on reading there. Over Rebecca, and Rebecca willingly, she said, yes, I will draw water for you. Willingness to serve, willingness to help. Are we one of those? Not only he said, I will draw water for you, I will draw water for all your camels, 10 camels. And they say one camel can drink about 40 gallons of water, a thirsty camel. They got some other room also, like the kangaroo, you know, having the little one in front. They have some compartments like we have in the fridge, some storing up place, because they are meant for desert places. God is so wonderful. They say that's a ship of the desert. When you go to Middle East countries, then you will know what it is. And so, 40 gallons of water for a camel, 10 camels, how many? 400 gallons. I see how many times Rebecca had to. Do you have any practice in drawing water? Some of us have. Others have seen have not seen a well, and they have not seen a bucket also. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm telling you. But if you draw 10 times, you bend down and then, mind you, when you are drawing, it's heavy. And then making all those camels giving water is so tough. And she was willing. Do you mean to say, what makes us think that Rebecca would not have any problem? She was an angel from heaven. And she had no problem, no worry, no depression, nothing. She came to the well, and then, you know, and she said, hi. No. She would have had her own problem, right? Come on. But what we would have said, draw water, and I will be thinking is that I hope he's not expecting me to draw for the camels also. No, I'm not going to do it anyway. But, we think he's right. Isn't it right? Come on now. That's right. But she was willing to give water for all those camels, all the 10 camels. And she said, drink, my Lord, verse 18. And then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him drink. And when she had finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also. Until they have finished drinking, she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough. All the time you read that word, quickly, quickly, quickly. She was not doing drowsily. Probably when we try to do drowsily, and like that, probably the servant would have said, don't bother. Don't bother. I think I will feed all the 8 camels. You feed too. The way we move, the word says quickly. Probably she must have really very quick, right? She was very enthusiastic. How are we when it comes to the works of the kingdom? Whatever, the chairs arranging or carrying that thing and this thing. Somebody had to carry the projector. Somebody had to carry from the car, get inside the car. Whatever the work, do we do it with enthusiasm, with joy, or we do it? Oh, you got to carry this? Ooh. All right. Can't we push it? But Rebecca did not. She was more than willing to help that man with water and also camel. And watch that word quick. Brothers and sisters, now let us go to verse 22. So it was when the camels had finished drinking, they had to wait there until all the camels drank water. And the man took a golden nose ring. Actually, the margin says it's a jewel that is worn on the forehead. That's the type of the Lord Holy Spirit sealing every believer. It brings, I told you the last time, it seals the believer. You see, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Are you okay, Brother Dino? All right. So the gifts are given to Rebecca. And what happens now? And she said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? Now the Holy Spirit, after giving the gifts, he never comes empty-handed. Every believer at least had got one gift. Minimum, definitely more than one. 1 Peter 4, chapter 10th verse says, you have a gift, at least one gift. Is it operating? And the Holy Spirit gives these gifts to her. And he asks you, do you got more room in your house? This is a picture, a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the born-again experience, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside. Okay, now he asks, hello, do you have room, more room in your heart? Can I take control of this room also? If there are 5 rooms, we hold the keys to the 5 rooms, and maybe that we have given one key to the Holy Spirit now, and the other areas we have not given him freedom. So he said, do you have more room? Can you see that? He wants to actually, with our willingness, with our cooperation, he wants to extend the kingdom of God, make you a blessing for many people, and fulfill the call of God that is in your life. God has called you. Don't just take salvation as nothing. It is the initial stage of your call. God called Moses for a purpose. He called Noah for a purpose. You and I have been called for a purpose in such a time as this.
That's why I say don't play church. Don't just go and forget about, oh, well, you know, I went there. And you were just talking about Rebecca and all these camels and all that. Who's worried? Please. This is your life. Okay. Now, is there more room in your heart? Have we given all the places of our heart? All the rooms? Or have we reserved something for us? Some people will give everything except their job. Some people will give everything you have, Lord, except my money. They keep the money away or something away. And God is not going to force. The Lord Holy Spirit will never force. He said, okay, that's fine. Who will be the losers? We are the ones. We'll soon find out that money will not buy everything. Can anyone buy a piece for money? No, you can't. Verse 28. So the young woman ran and told her mother's house these things. Now just before this, when he asked the room, he said, yeah. Rebecca said, well, I got room, plenty of room. You, oh yeah, not only for you, even for the camels. We may give room for the servant. What about the camels? Getting the camels inside our compound is a bit, oh, they're going to dirty the whole place. Or 10 camels, you know, getting all their digested food down on the floor. You know what it will be like. There are certain difficult things that the Lord will present before us, whether we will do it or not. It is easier to serve the Lord when everything is okay, when the sun is shining. What about when it was snowing and it was a snowstorm? Oh, Pastor. When things are difficult. You know, it's easy to give when we have a lot of money. But it's difficult when we have only little to put that like that widow out of our need. That's what God is after. So she said, there's plenty of room. Plenty of room. And now she runs home and then she tells everyone that she met this guy, this servant. When salvation has come inside you and me, we cannot hide it. You can't hide that. You will be public. Let it, whether they believe it or not, you just say, I was blind and now I see. I don't care. You don't believe it? That's okay. But something happened in my heart. You cannot hide the salvation. Have you told your friends, your relatives, your very own house in excitement? What happened to you? Or have you been hiding it even today? Think about it. Rebecca ran and told all her house. Yeah. Verse 29 and 30. Now Rebecca had a brother whose name was Laban, and the Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on her, Laban, her brother, saw her gifts. Now I told you, when we get born again, God, the Holy Spirit comes inside with gifts, right? Can other people, have they seen your gifts yet? Have anyone found out, my Lord, what is this happening? You pray and things are happening and you can discern. Well, you said that man, when I looked at him, no, he looks a murderer. You know, that was true. How did you know? People coming and asking you, the gifts operating in you, can they see your gifts? Laban saw the gifts on Rebecca. You can't hide the gifts. The gifts are not given to hide it. The gifts are given for the blessing of other people. That we be a blessing for the others. Lay our hands on people for healing. Point at the devil and then set people free in the name of Jesus. That's why gifts are given. Or discern something. Yes, something is wrong in this house. I sense it. Well, let me pray about this matter. You pray and the Lord shows you, hey, they've got something, abomination over there. They got to remove that picture or that records or whatever, that music. Yeah. That's why gifts are given. Has anybody found out any gift on you other than other than
shouting and arguing, or fighting, or being grumpy all the time, especially after work.
After the work. Sometimes people are grumpy going to work. Slam the door in. Will you call me? No, I won't.
Yeah.
So they see those gifts. You see, God has given plenty of gifts to the church, and how many are being used? How many are being used? Oh, Lord. That's why the church is suffering today. That's why we are playing church and we are just dancing before the golden calf. And Jesus had to come in and upset everything. Yeah? Are you listening? Now, verse 31. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord, or why do you stand outside? Now the Laban speaking, for I have prepared the house and a place. Now at the words of Rebekah, even Laban is touched now, and he's opening the house. Come. What? Don't stand outside. Can you see? Now, he had not had any acquaintance close talking with this servant yet. But he is the, I see the jewels, the gifts on her nose and on her head. My God, you must be having plenty of gifts. And he opens the house. Can you see that? Even others are blessed when you are blessed of the Lord. Those who are with you will be blessed. Is it happening like that? Huh? Because of Joseph, God blessed Egypt, right? He blessed many people. Because of Noah, he blessed his household. Hallelujah. So he opens the house without any reservation or anything like that. Now let us go to Verse 53, chapter 24, verse 53. So we are just have in your heart that we are just, it's a type of the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation, how the Lord came seeking for us in order to get us into the kingdom of God. Verse 53, how are you there? Say, yes. The servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold and clothing and gave them. You know, God is not here. We're not opposed to jewelry. We can wear them. Some people take off everything and throw it off. They think that's more holy. This doesn't more holy. God created gold. Everything. Hello, are you there? God is not irritated by it. You see? And gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious thing to her brother and to her mother. See, as I told you, when you are blessed, others are also blessed. The mother also now got. The brother got everything. She said, wow. We thought he brought gifts only to Rebecca. And we also get. And the mother is wearing now. Oh, nice. Whatever you call it. Ring or big, what do you call it? Kadakan or whatever. All gifts. Did you get any gifts? Because your brother got saved, because your uncle got saved, because so and so got saved. Or did others get any gift because you are in the kingdom now? As for it, these are all type, these are all shadow. So when you are saved, in your household, the others will get blessed. Oh yes, because of your light. Because the light has come inside now. You are the light to those who are seated in darkness. So others are blessed because of us. Where are we? Verse 53, right? Yes. Lot, you know, Lot was blessed, the nephew of Abraham, because of Abraham. Abraham increased in wealth, and Lot also increased in wealth. But he was bound by wealth. So he left Abraham. That man should have easily stayed with Abraham. He says, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind losing my wealth, but I want to stay with you because I see the presence of God in you. But he just went away as far as near. And the next thing we see, he has pitched his house, built a house inside Sodom. He lost his calling. Useless. Wealth is useless in the day of trouble, the Bible says. All right.
Verse 57. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. And they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Brothers and sisters, the call of salvation is so urgent. We cannot postpone it. No one can postpone it. It is a call from God. You cannot postpone this call. You do not know what you have tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. I hear a story about Reinhard Bonnke. I'll make it very short. And this couple came and the Lord called them for salvation. And they came and they were not that willing, you know, to surrender their lives to the Lord. And the boy was willing, but the girl was not willing. And so the boy also kept quiet. They were, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend. And so he never forced them, and that's it. And after the meeting was over, they never gave their lives to the Lord. When the meeting was over, they crossed the road outside. A car came and just smashed them. They died just there. So you cannot count on tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. You should know now that you are saved. That you know the Lord. Don't say that I have been in the church for 10 years. I got born again 15 years. I got born again before 7 years. Do you know him now? Are you having a close walk with him now? Are you joining with such people now? Are you worried about the kingdom of God now? So they called this woman and asked, are you willing? Always God will ask us. You willing? Okay. Then come. Never give another day or tomorrow. The servant never said to Rebecca, I think we are all tired. Probably Rebecca, you have a go and have a rest because you have been drawing water for all the camels. Go and have a rest. Probably you think about it and let me know after 1 week. No! Salvation message is urgent. Call that woman right now. Ask her straight away. So they called her and asked her. She said, I will go. That's urgent salvation is. Psalm 45. Should we go with Psalm 45, please? Psalm 45. That's a wonderful thing over there. 10 and 11. I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord, Lord Holy Spirit, is taking me here and over there. I'm just lost in my notes. 45. What did I say? 10 and 11. Listen, O daughter, this is speaking to every person. What? Listen, O daughter, every believer. Consider and incline your ear. Consider what message you are hearing. Forget your own people also. Don't cling on to your mama and papa and uncle and aunt and all those. You know, you are just bound by affections. Or, oh, I don't know what they will think of me if I leave and go to church. Let him think anything. Smith Wigglesworth's wife used to go to church and come back and he'll shut the door in front. Not allow her to come inside. What happened to that man now? Became a mighty servant of God. I think he resurrected about 18 people. Dead people. Dead for days. Hallelujah. So can you see that? Consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king, who is the king? The Lord Jesus Christ will greatly desire your beauty. So Rebecca had to forsake her household and all her brothers, the mother, the father, everyone, and then go behind the servant. See? I'm giving a little work now and then for the cameraman. Can you see that? She went behind that person, the servant. So we need to follow the Lord Holy Spirit. Now verse 60. 24 verse 60. Quick, quick, quick. Verse 60. Oh, I'm in Numbers. All right. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become a mother of thousands and ten thousands. Can you see the blessing there? And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. So Rebecca is a type of the believer. Rebecca is a type of the church. We are her descendants. Now we are now joined with the Holy Spirit, and they are giving the blessing for her. Your blood, let there be thousands of descendants come forth from you, and then let them possess the gate of your enemies. How many of you, you remember the blessing that was given to the church? I mean, the what was spoken to the church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell, you will shake it. You will destroy it and get those people out. You know, people have been always thinking, oh, the devil will not overrule you. The devil will not, you know, oppose and stop the church. No, that doesn't mean that there. Jesus never said anything about that. That's why the church always have been in the defensive position. No, we need to be in the offensive position, attacking the devil. The devil must be wondering all the time, what are they going to do today? What are they going to do today to me? Instead, now we are worried about, oh, what the devil is going to do to us. Oh, we do that, what the devil... You see, gates of hell shall not prevail, Jesus said. What is it? The church will kick the gates of hell, where the devil has bound people in deception so that they don't come out. But the church will go and say, let my people go. Kick open the door, the gate. And Satan cannot hold them. That's what he's saying in Matthew 16, 18. What are we doing? What are we doing with the precious blood of Jesus? What are we doing with the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit? What are we doing with the Word of God? What are you doing after listening to all these things? You waiting for somebody to come and lay hands on you? Nobody. Lay down on me anyway. You see? Come on! God has called you for a purpose and a plan. So we need to go forward attacking the kingdom of the devil so that we set the captives free. That is the work of the church. That is the work of the church. So, brothers and sisters, the camels and everything were gone inside now. The gifts are all, if they have been given. Now the servant is now taking, if you read the story, to Isaac. She's now going to meet Isaac. Isaac is waiting for this servant. Rebekah had nobody accompanying her except that servant. The same way Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send another wonderful friend, comforter to you. And he is the only one who is with us and in us, preparing us that we may meet the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 24, take it. Genesis 24. Can you put it on pause? Verse 63. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. Now, even now, she doesn't know who that person is. Now, all this while, now, Rebekah is talking to whom? The servant. Are we talking to the Lord Holy Spirit all the time? No. We are talking to our mind. More thoughts go on than we bite. We talk to our mind in the car, while we're in the shower, or anything. Talk over here in this ball. But Rebecca has been talking to this servant, is a type of the Lord Holy Spirit. For she had to say to the servant, who is this man? See, she asked the question to the servant. We need to ask. Jesus said, when he comes, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, he will reveal myself to you. So all the wealth and the revelation of Lord Jesus Christ is with the Lord Holy Spirit. He's the one who will, whenever you taste Jesus' presence, say today we are touched, you have tasted the presence of Jesus in your heart. Who was responsible? The Lord Holy Spirit. He is the presence of God and the essence of Jesus Christ. He's the one. So she's asking, she's conversing with him. She's talking to him, conversation, all the while she was going with him, Rebecca, a type of church. So the servant said, it is my master. She took a veil and covered himself. You cannot bypass the Holy Spirit and receive any revelation about Jesus Christ from anywhere. Even from God's word, you need to have the Holy Spirit to reveal, the Lord Holy Spirit to reveal things from God's word. Don't read the Bible, just say, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord Holy Spirit, please teach me.
Please reveal it to me. If you don't do that, very soon this book will dry up. It will not be tasty. You won't get any revelation. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Brothers and sisters, Rebekah, while coming, she lifted up her eyes and saw Isaac. Only those believers who are walking and being led by the Lord Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 verse 13. Those believers having a close walk with the Lord Holy Spirit. And conversing with him all the time. And asking him questions. What about this, Lord? What about, I don't understand. Please help me, Lord Holy Spirit. Please teach me. I don't understand these scriptures. And when we don't talk to him. Let me say, those people who are conversing with the Lord Holy Spirit, only they are the ones who will see the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Rebekah lifted up her eyes and saw Isaac. Only that church led by the Holy Spirit will be taken up in the rapture. Others were having their own party, like Queen Vashti. The king had a party and she was having her own party. These churches with their own programs will never be raptured in his coming. They can have church even after Jesus is gone, has come and taken the church. And now it is left only for them to go through the tribulation. This is not a judgment that I'm passing. This is what the principles of God's word. God is coming for a spotless church, a wrinkleless church, those who are eagerly waiting for him. Only those believers who are eagerly waiting for him. Do you know who they are? Those who have a close encounter and walk with the Lord Holy Spirit. He's the one who is here with us. Jesus is in heaven. He is here on earth in the church. He's the Lord. But are we making him the Lord? Have we made him the Lord within our hearts? Holy Spirit, I don't understand. Please, I'm confused. Help me. Maybe they're there. No encouragement for you. Wait, he will do it. Brothers and sisters, Isaac, what happened? Receives Rebekah and then took her into the tent as his wife. Now, as we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, guided by the Lord Holy Spirit, those who are led by the Lord Holy Spirit are the sons of God. You know, when you're born again, you are a child of God, a baby. But when you are led by the Spirit, you begin to grow. You are the son of God. That means you are a matured a son of God. Maturity. Only those are led by the Holy Spirit. Babies cannot be led because they cannot know him. So you need to grow. So brothers and sisters, this is a beautiful plan of salvation. What, you know, Abraham, a type of God the Father. Isaac, the type of God the Son. The servant mentioned their type of God, the Holy Spirit, and Rebekah, type of the church or the believer, and you are. And see, how beautiful plan is this. You are not an accident. You didn't hear this message accidentally. And you are very special. And you have a purpose and a plan. Jesus is coming very soon. And you and I must know our plan. And God will reveal it step by step. And we must walk in it. Don't play church. Don't be satisfied with just singing songs, reading a few scriptures every morning and running to work. Your time will be over and we need to give an account to the Lord. May the Lord bless you. Amen.